Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
God will see you through. God, who knows your heart, will see you through each difficulty of life and help you celebrate with every success. God will see you through so you may help others through their life journey. That you may look into the heart of others and see God's hope in such a way that you will step in during the hard moments of life and speak this word of promise. It was the early church who's created a pattern for us of what it meant to yield our lives to God in such a way that we are transformed personally and in each of our relationships. And so it was a young, courageous church who, with great faith, made their decision that everyone should know that God's love is freely provided for every person, and the gift of salvation is available to everyone without any human constraints, without the bondage of human limitations. That God's grace, paid by the love and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, should have no bounds placed upon it. We take this for granted today, don't we? But it should never be taken for granted, should it? By the cost of Christ, but the life of a church in the midst of this Roman Empire turned what was a pivotal moment in Christian history that became a turning moment in world history. The declaration that we've continued to be growing into, the size which fits God, is that everyone is equal unto the Lord, and therefore the gift of God's love provided in the salvation by grace should be equal for all. We know what it's like to struggle in creating equal rights. We're in the centennial celebration for women to have the right to vote in national elections by the 19th Amendment. And in this decision, we were saying that men and women were equal in the right to be able to form opinions, to shape public perspective, and to be able to cast a vote. And as we approach this November, may each of us not let this democratic, hard-earned right for women and for men be lost by not voting. That each and every election, we call ourselves out as the Trinity Baptist Church into the larger community to say that there is a conscientious responsibility that we have to vote. But voting is only the beginning. And in the life of the church, we help to set a tone of what it means to talk through hard subjects in agreeable spirit of love that creates a unity for action. It's an ongoing challenge for us as a large people, and it's an ongoing challenge for us as members within our congregation. Last fall, then, I wrote a pastoral letter saying the 10 rules to help us through hard conversations, that knowing that there are tender subjects and thorny issues, the hard pressed in our relationships with family or at work, in the midst of those relationships, at times hard conversations need to happen. When the answers aren't easy and the timetable is now, how is it that we prepare ourselves in such a way that we are actually helpful and not hurtful? That we actually help us to get to a right conclusion and not simply expressing our own view in disregard of the view of others? But even more than that, that we don't disregard the view that God is wanting us to know about His Spirit, His hope, and His promise in our relationships. So when I wrote this letter last fall to us as a church family, I was looking through Acts 15. I was looking through the book of Acts, the life of the early church and how they did it. And now, months later, I'm preaching a sermon from this incredible text. My hope is that as we are chapter by chapter, Sunday by Sunday, letting the Word of God speak a message into our lives from this fifth book of the New Testament, we will pray the prayer, Lord, grow me to fit the size of this faith. Stir within me the courage to be a person who may live this story. And in the midst of the hard conversations, to be able to win the day by winning the gospel in a spirit of unity, it requires us to be able to prayerfully talk it through, to use our influence for good, to let God's wisdom surface, and then to live courageously, prayerfully talking it through. When Wally and Karen opened the scriptures for us in reading through this chapter, they laid out for us the opening verses, and which creates a context. This is a case study. It's a story. If you haven't already, later today or this week, open the scriptures to this chapter. Get on the edge of your seat and with expectation, see what is going on. And then ask this prayer, connecting it back to this worship moment. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now on the screen is laying out, both for Facebook Live and live stream and here in the sanctuary, are simply the parts that I underlined from the passage. But to be able to prayerfully talk it through was that in Antioch, where we first received the name Christians, north of Israel, in Syria, along the Mediterranean Sea, the movement of God was freeing for Gentiles and Jews, meaning for non-Jews and people of every ethnic background, and coming to this faith in Christ, feeling the freedom of a guilt removed and shame lifted, relationships restored, and a power beyond our own natural power breaking through. But in this good news, there's always someone who wants to come and put it out because it's threatening to them. So much so that the Gentiles, to use the term in the scriptures, were growing at a faster rate than those who were coming from a Jewish background. There's an ethnic strife that some wanted to bring to this story that God didn't want to be there in the first place, and this was God's way of healing any ethnic divisions. And so these people from Jerusalem went to Antioch and said, cut it out. You gotta be just like us and practice just like we do in order to think that you know the grace of God. You've got to take on circumcision for men. You've got to get into the Mosaic code for everybody. And by doing that, then you may pray to accept Christ and live out the Christian message. And the story of Moses is pivotal. But the gift of salvation comes directly from God. And again, we seem to take this just for granted. But we need to know how it is that it became so freely to us in a way that we don't take it for granted. And that is a hard-earned gift that we've been entrusted not only to have for ourselves, but for others to know the story in their lives. And so Paul and Barnabas went to these people who were intruding on the Spirit of God and spoke sharply to them, is how the Greek has it. And they went to a public debate, and there needed to be a consensus. And so instead of stoning each other, instead of just making accusations of libel and slander against each other, the wisdom of the church in Antioch said, we need to send representatives where you came from, you other guys here. And we need to talk it out with the apostles and the elders and the church in Jerusalem so we all get clear on what God is really wanting to do. They agreed to that. And they chose then Paul and Barnabas to make the journey. And on the way there, as the story is laid out, they encouraged other believers coming from different backgrounds who celebrated this unity. And by the time that they got to Jerusalem, they had prayerfully prepared themselves for the historic conversation. See, when we're about to have the hard conversation, it's not a matter of just the adrenaline that's pumping inside of us. It's not just about grudges that have been sharpened to the point that they can be used as knives against others. But it's a sense of prayerfully preparing ourselves so that we have entered with a heart of love. We created a clarity of perspective by wanting God to show us the big picture. And how is it that we may create a way that everyone may step into the conversation? That's a gift for us. When someone is having a hard conversation with you, my prayer for you is, it is the prayer that I have for myself, is, Lord, help me hear what you want me to hear that is being said. Help me to grow into the response you're wanting me to have in light of what is being said. And Lord, help me to create space in this conversation, though we may not agree on all of the outcome, that the relationship will have a place to stand, if not now, but then later. And help me respond, and for you to be able to respond in a way that we can know what to do next. Next Sunday, we're having a vision casting, as C-Mac put it. We'll be at our Tri-Point campus, and after the worship of experiencing in God's living presence, then we'll move to a town hall forum and a business meeting. And some will say, what does that have to do with worship? And others will say, that's Baptist for you. And the good news is, that is Baptist for us. Like William McLaughlin, one of the most respected church historians of the 20th century, who wrote across an array of subjects, including the rights for Native Americans, and to the power of evangelism, revivalism, and the story of the separation of church and state, of which he said Baptists were the leaders. That Baptists had helped to shape a spirit of unity and democracy in the early colonies, William McLaughlin then said, teaching from Brown University, a former Baptist school. That it is in these conversations that Baptists have where we can see the spirit of mutual respect and dignity being had in a community setting. Well, that's the ideal. Not always that's what happens. My mother was a church clerk in the town where I grew up, and which means that she was there for every business meeting, and I loved my mother, and I loved the church, and so as a little boy, and then as a teenager, I always sat next to her at business meetings, and there were times I wondered, what happened to so-and-so? He's not talking in this Wednesday night business meeting like he does on Sunday morning. And unfortunately, at times I could see Baptist bullies getting formed around business time because it came around power and not spirit empowerment. But when we get it right, which is our commitment to Trinity, we may speak sharply but lovingly. We may speak truthfully to build up, to edify. We may allow ourselves to be prayerfully prepared. And so this Sunday, next Sunday when we gather, it is a remarkable experience of being transparent as a church, communicating our heart story of how we can see the future together. And that takes sweat and preparation. And the effort is worth the outcome. Even as the plans must adapt and pivot along the way, the preparation and the unity that gets formed is what strengthens us to do whatever adjustment that we need to do along the way. When two of our youth, who now Sarah Smith has graduated from law school at SMU and Katie is a medical student, when they were in high school, they were in a civic segment of their course of history, needing to take in a democratic experience in our society, and their dad and mother reminded them that's exactly what Baptist business meetings are. And so to get a check, and Katie and Sarah came to our meeting, listened it through, and also they in their lives now help to embody what it is for our next generation to prayerfully prepare one's life so that God's message can shine through. All right. So we're into it. We're prepared. And then in the midst of our gathering together, like in Jerusalem, you must use your good influence. No one has the whole picture, and it takes all of us listening to each other to have a sense of the big picture that God is wanting to show. But you've got a slice of it, and then when you have prayerfully prepared yourself that your influence would be used for the purposes of God to edify the Spirit, to build up the body of Christ, to accomplish his mission in the world, then use your influence for good. And so it was that this conversation happening in Jerusalem got stuck. They were celebrating in the good news of what had happened, and Paul and Barnabas going to regions where the gospel had never been shared before, and how they confronted evil and they freed women up from the slavery in the marketplace, how men and women were coming to faith in Christ, and they were all, most of them coming out of the Gentile background, and the people of the church in Jerusalem said, that's a wonderful working of God. But there was a question about how will they share power and habits and customs. And they got stuck there. And Peter, who he himself had once thought that the gift of freedom in Christ always had to come through the old tradition, spoke up and said, you know how I once thought, but I'd shared with you before in this gathering here at Jerusalem a few years back of how God showed me in a vision. And then God gave me a relationship in Cornelius, a centurion in the Roman army, and how God had changed his heart and he came to faith in this Christ that transformed him to ethical living in his daily life. The same Spirit that touched him was touching me, and I brought that message to you, and we all celebrated in that gift. Well, let me tell you, the movement's growing. It's getting bigger. And that same principle that we affirmed then is now what we need to hear now. And you could imagine just seeing the heads nod. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Hearts beginning to relax. And then they were able to hear Paul and Barnabas again tell their stories of what God had happened, what God had done along their way. And in the midst of that, they were able to see a hope and promise of God at work. Now, we move then from being prayerfully prepared to the sense of using your influence for good. Then to let God's wisdom bubble up, let God's wisdom surface. It's not about us just seeing how wise we can be. Now, when we come in the name of Christ for the purposes of Christ, we're intentionally saying we want to live our whole life this way, but especially now, we want to make sure that we're allowing the ways of God to show the way we should take. Let God's wisdom surface. So that in the life of the church, it's not just about the vote, though that can be part of the process. It's about a collective sense of the will of God forming itself as the will of the people. Not that we would all agree on exactly, but that we would agree enough in that the purpose that's being highlighted is to be accomplished, and we're not going to stand in the way because we've had the conversation. And after all of this, then a leader in the Jerusalem church by the name of James, who was the physical brother of Jesus, who once wanted to send to Jesus early in Jesus' life to Jerusalem for the purpose that he would be ridiculed there, even if not killed there. This same James had come to his conversion, and he had been set free. And he listened to the Spirit of God emerge in their midst. And he spoke what each one was feeling as being true, and they agreed. And so he said, and let it be then that we will not place the bondage of our old ways upon believers coming from a different background, but that we will celebrate with them in their faith in Christ. Now, if we pay attention as Americans to the Declaration of Independence, if we celebrate in the ratification of the Constitution and the amendments along the way, we as people of faith need to celebrate and know this story. Not as a matter of history per se, but as a matter of how to live life today. in such a way that the Spirit inspires us to be able to put it into action. And so that Christianity, the world's largest religion, isn't trying to dominate the world around an ideology, but is trying to show the ways of the gift of salvation for every boy and girl and every man and woman. As you've heard me say, everyone has the spiritual right to know about the love of God and the gift of Christ. And in this promise, we in our ministries, in our global missions, look in this simple photograph put together, I'm standing with people from West Africa giving leadership to the whole continent, with a man giving great leadership in India, and with children that our youth-led mission trip last summer was with in Honduras of Central America. See, all of this was at stake in this moment of history of Acts 15. And if this moment of history had gone differently, well, the kind of freedom today would have been won a different way in the life of the church, but it got settled early in the life of the church, and this is the momentum that must continue. And so we're grateful that we can prayerfully prepare ourselves, that we can use the good influence of our life, and that we may let the wisdom of God bubble up in our midst, and then to live the message with courage. And the story of the courage, it says that Paul and Barnabas were men of great courage who risked their lives in the sharing of faith. Now, Orson Welles says, a good ending only depends on where you put the final period. So we could end the story here and it would be an easy ending. But Luke, the writer under the Spirit of God, both in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, said there's another part of the story. We need to know again how hard this is. That Paul and Barnabas had returned to Antioch. They'd given the good news. They were celebrating. They were laying out the pathway of how to share this good gospel. And then they were trying to decide among themselves where they would go next on their missionary journey. And they laid out a course. And then Barnabas said, I want to take my cousin, my young cousin, John Mark, who, and Paul was beginning to stack up, no. John Mark in Pamphylia, where we were there, he left us, he deserted us. And Barnabas, I can picture him saying, yeah, well, he did, but he's grown now, he's no longer there. That was a learning experience in his life. And I can hear Paul saying, well, the stakes are too high, we can't afford to take that risk again, therefore I won't let him go with me. And Barnabas said, if that's how you really feel about it, then I'll take John Mark with me. And so they did. Barnabas and John Mark went one way, and Paul and his new companion, Silas, went another way. But here's in my imagination, I picture what they said to each other. Knowing that this one disagreement, the same word sharp is used here in this sharp disagreement, that it wasn't the final word in their spirit. I can imagine Barnabas first saying to Paul, God's blessings upon you. Silas is a good man. You'll do great work and the gospel will be blessed by God. And the Spirit of Christ will grow. Know that my prayers go with you. And I can picture Paul kind of catching his breath, which is what we all have to do in hard moments. Take a deep breath. And in the midst of that deep breath, saying, I pray that John Mark will become the person you seem to be, Barnabas. I pray that he will grow into this person of God, and that your journey with him will continue to mentor him in the way. And so they went. And we believe that it was John Mark then who would write the third gospel of the New Testament that bears the name Mark. We won't hear the name Barnabas again in the New Testament because it's not about self-glory. He continued to live his life and to do his work faithfully. We won't hear about Peter again in the book of Acts. Again, it's not about self-glory. He went on to do his work and write a book that bears his name of 1 Peter. We'll hear much more about Paul and Silas. And later in his life, as I said last Sunday, Paul would ask for John Mark, now an older man, to come be with him while Paul was in prison, about to die for the very reason that he stood up for the gospel in Acts 15. That this gospel is for everyone. And Caesar does not have the power to control this. And neither does prejudice in the hearts of people. And before his head was detached from his body, and John Mark was there, God took the gospel forward. Because the people were willing to prayerfully talk it through, to use their good influence for the gospel, to let God's wisdom surface, and to live the message of God courageously. This is our time to do the same. But we need a power beyond us to do it, and that's always the invitation, the very message that for you to say, whether on Facebook or live stream or here in person, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you, that I may be of a greater influence for you in this world. Heal me of sin and set me free. Or that this is now a time in which you know that God has seen you through. And Lord, I pray that you will just take me in this week and have your way with me. It can be what's at stake here is called the membership in the body of Christ, the membership of church. And to identify in your church life with Trinity so that we together can boldly live and share the gospel.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.